the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
Indeed, indeed, it is the Pancakes of Power Slam Show. We are here live once again on a Tuesday evening, just like we do as always. I am Chris Featherstone, your host for the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here live on this wonderful evening. Excited to give you the raw news for the week and raw news in upcoming episodes and just seeing what we think about it. In 2 weeks, a little side note here. In 2 weeks, we will go back to our, I'm pleased to say that we will go back to our original format. We've been transitioning back into our original format, which is, of course, we have the this week's news. We have, we may do some last week's errors because we used to do that back in the day too. This week's news and last week's errors, and of course, Raw, SmackDown, TNA, and ROH coverage, recap and analysis, and of course, as we've been doing, the flavor of the week, as always, and the trivia, which is always fun. Speaking of trivia, I'll open up with the first trivia question for the night. Who did Jake Roberts DDT on the concrete floor on an episode of Saturday Night's Main Event? Once again, who did Jake Roberts DDT on the concrete floor on Saturday Night's Main Event? Go into the chat room, answer that question via chat, or go to Twitter and tweet at Crave Wrestling or hashtag PanSlams, PanSlams. I'm trying to get that hashtag very popular and to trend pretty well. So, started the hashtag. We've had a different hashtag before, but I like Pan Slams. So we will use this hashtag for the duration of the show, which hopefully is forever or until I'm no longer here and it trends ends and someone else takes the baton like 50, 60 years from now. So we'll be talking about generations and generations of pro wrestling. So I'm excited about that. But hashtag PanSlams, answer the question or just tweet at Crave Wrestling with your answer. Either way is fine. I would prefer to tweet at Crave Wrestling just for the convenience of me, it just popping up. So that would work. Once again, who did Jake Roberts DDT on the concrete floor Saturday Night's Main Event? Or you can always go to the wonderful, wonderful chat room and let us know your thoughts. I also used to quote a lot of things on the chat room as well. I'm going to go back to that as far as quoting, just saying some things that are on the chat room and find it worthy to be said live on air. And I will go ahead and do that. So looking forward to the transition again and going to be a wonderful, wonderful duration of Pancakes and Power Slams heading to episode on the route to episode 100. So we got quite some time to go, but you know we've got to 50, and that's something to be proud about. So. Once again, who did Jake Roberts DDT on the concrete floor on Saturday Night's Main Event? The flavor of the week is pro wrestling's most soulful wrestlers in honor of Black History Month. I'll talk about pro wrestling's most soulful wrestlers. I got nice little number of them, 10 or 11 in total. So we'll talk about that. And let's get to Raw. We start off with the Vince McMahon in-ring promo. As you remember last week, he was he called out Paul Heyman, and he was scheduled to be in a match, or as we thought was a match, against Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman comes out, cuts a promo, and then he kind of spears Vince, but not really. It was probably the worst spear I've ever seen in my life. It didn't really do much for anybody, because the thing is, it's like, you know, people was wondering if it was, if Vince's, you know, hip surgery was real or kayfabe. Seemed pretty kayfabe to me, because he was kind of playing the limp a little bit, and then all of a sudden there was a couple of times in there where, I mean, he just looked like he just got finished working out a couple hours ago, so doing squats. So I don't know. It wouldn't put it past me if it's kayfabe, and I'm leaning towards that. But this all leads to a Brock Lesnar appearance, which subsequently leads to a Triple H appearance. As far as how I feel about that, I mean, you know, the predictable WrestleMania that we're seeing as things are starting to unveil. I was looking to see Brock Lesnar and Triple H, I'm not buying it. I'm not really that excited about it whatsoever. I think that the altercation yesterday was decent. For what it was supposed to be for. But the thing is, I mean, they both are not in the best shape. I mean, they're both probably in the worst shape of their careers. And then on top of that, I mean, the only thing that would probably make this work, since the match at SummerSlam was, you know, it was okay. But, I mean, it drew money. I mean, that's, like I said before, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. Hence the reason why we're getting Rock Cena 2. And we'll go further into that. But it does draw, but it has to be some type of stipulation. It has to be some type of no disqualification match, or some type of street fight, or something to that nature. I guess it gives Brock Lesnar a spot, but I mean, all of these matches that are just happening over and over again, I'm just not a fan of. So, we'll see. We'll see where that goes. Until then, you know, I guess we just have to anticipate how the angle builds into WrestleMania. Ryback defeats Dolph Ziggler. Yeah, I mean, again, Dolph Ziggler is just continuing to lose matches. I had a good conversation about this with a colleague of mine yesterday. And he made a good point, similar to what I said before, as far as I'm not looking for Dolph Ziggler to have some big, significantly different win-loss record. Because he won the case, but just going on a series of losses just really diminishes his character. And I'm totally not a fan of it whatsoever. I really think that it's important for them to give Dolph Ziggler some kind of steam, and I think it's important for them to really do what they can to get this cashed in really soon, because the stock of Dolph Ziggler is plummeting fast. And I think that even him cashing in the title, cashing in the case, winning the title, just wouldn't be, I just wouldn't be interested. Interestingly enough, they continue, we'll go further into the Jack Swagger issue. Something happened in between last week and today about Jack Swagger that we'll go into. But ultimately, if he's just going to job to Del Rio and Swagger cashes the case at Mania, I'm surprised that they would keep it. I mean, I'm surprised that they would let it go until Mania. But hopefully, you know, that starts something with Ziggler. But they need to do something. They need to have him at least win a few matches before Mania to build some steam, because ultimately, if Ziggler wins and wins the title and nobody cares by now, I mean, his championship run will flop. And I hope that doesn't happen, because Ziggler is a good wrestler. CM Punk in-ring promo. I mean, it just really is a waste of time, to be honest with you. I mean, CM Punk, I mean, he can cut good promos. However, I do think that it is greatly important that the timing and the spots filled for Raw for it to be 3 hours is really, I mean, it really baffles me, because it still seems like within 3 hours there's still not a lot of substance in the show. And you hardly ever see the Divas. I mean, Caitlyn's the Divas champ. Sometimes I even forget about that. And so we need to see a little bit more substance. We need to see a bigger emphasis on the tag team picture. I mean, once again, this is the road to WrestleMania. So we need to have as much substance as we possibly can. So very, very, very important for that to happen. So I really hope that we see more leading into WrestleMania with the Divas. I mean, although the Divas division is very lackluster, we still need to see something leading into WrestleMania. Mark Henry defeats the Great Khali. I mean, I definitely like the fact that Henry beat Khali. But I really hope that, like I said before, I really hope that this does not lead to a WrestleMania match. We saw a squash match a couple weeks ago, and we see a relatively squash match yesterday on Raw. However, I mean, what does that do? How does that help Mark Henry? I don't see any type, any kind of push that this can give Mark Henry as of now, because the Great Khali is just continuing to be handed to Henry. What does this do for Mark Henry? So, I mean, let's just continue to build him up for a feud with Ryback. Possibly, I would prefer that other than Ryback and Jericho. Does this push him to a feud with another mid-carder, you know, or upper mid-carder? We'll see. But I think that I like Mark Henry. I think his aggression, I think his intimidating character is even better than the Hall of Pain, which is good. I'd be okay if he had another world title run. I'm liking Mark Henry a lot now. I hope they don't misuse the popularity that Mark Henry is developing as more of a intimidating, dominating heel. They do really need to take advantage of that as much as possible. Miz TV with Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger. let's go into the news of last week concerning Jack Swagger. He, many of the listeners would probably already know this, but Jack Swagger was arrested last week in Biloxi, Mississippi, on charges of speeding, which led to the police allegedly finding pot in his car, and then allegedly under the influence as well. So per WWE's policy, you know, usually there's a 30-day suspension, but there's a fine print in the policy that actually would terminate, that could terminate Jack Swagger per this kind of offense. So even with all of that, you know, at least you have to hold the policy. But, I mean, he goes right back to work. He wrestles in house shows this weekend and goes over. So I'm totally not a fan of what we're seeing, and they're still trying to shove it down our throats. I mean, like I said, this is WrestleMania. I mean, you can't do this. I mean, he's not over. Jack Swagger is not over. Jeff Culture is more popular than Jack Swagger is. He's kind of standing in the shadows of Culture, and Mantell, he's, you know, he's been around for a while, but I don't think even he can leave Jack Swagger. I mean, the whole We the People shenanigans. I mean, please. I mean, just please give me something else, because I'm just totally not interested in what I'm seeing with Jack Swagger. And they're shoving it down our throats like I'm supposed to be interested. So I'm not a fan, and I think that Jack Swagger should be replaced. And the World Heavyweight title feud and match leading into WrestleMania is not looking good, because I'm liking Del Rio. I'm liking what you're doing with him. I'm a big fan of it. However, I do think that because his pops aren't, like, they aren't resounding, and because they're really still trying to do this thing with Jack Swagger, I don't think that it's a good build leading to almost anything else. So I think Ryback and Big Show would have been a lot better build than a lot better match to see for the World Heavyweight Championship. And this match, and also being the Ryback should have been facing the World Heavyweight Championship, which is the reason why I think he should have won. So the Royal Rumble. We'll see if this gets any better, if the interest builds whatsoever. I'll give it a shot. I'm sort of the Swagger situation, just because both of them aren't. I mean, the Rio's over enough, and I'm okay with him being a World Heavyweight Champion. But Jack Swagger is just not there. I'm surprised with you. As much as they try to shove it down our throats, I don't think he will be there. Next, we have Randy Orton defeating Antonio Cesaro. I like the matches that Orton and Cesaro has. Again, I don't see why Randy Orton and Cesaro shouldn't be a match at WrestleMania for the U.S. I was hoping that they might go with that and go a little further into Raw about another feud that could have been building. But later in that Raw, it kind of seemed like there, you know, a couple of people had double duty on Raw. So it just kind of threw a monkey wrench in what I think they could have done or they could be building. So because of that monkey wrench, I don't even know where Cesaro's going now. I don't know where the U.S. title is going to be. It's going to be a pre-show match at Mania. Are they building him for this long? I think he's had the title about 6 months. I think over 6 months now, which is good, which is a very good run for Cesaro. However, where does this lead him? He's had the title for this long, and he's had some I think he had maybe one good feud. I think that was against R-Truth. Other than that, I mean, The Miz was kind of lackluster. Of course, Santino was not good. So, you know, I don't know exactly where they're leading Cesaro, and I really think that they should really showcase Cesaro, because he's been holding his own as U.S. champion, and he's definitely main event worthy in my eyes. So, I mean, the mid-card titles aren't being showcased right now. They need to be showcased. Once again, as I'm going to continue to say, this is WrestleMania season, so you need to do as much as you can and milk every second to build notable things such as the main eventers, you know, the main event matches, good marquee matches, and build the titles. Build the Intercontinental title. Build the United States title. They're not doing that, and it's disappointing, to be honest with you. So hopefully we'll see something in the upcoming weeks with Antonio Cesaro as far as wondering who he's going to feud against. So next we have Team Hell No backstage segment with Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox. Funny to see Maddox. He's a funny guy, but the stipulation that they did, you know, Kane one arm tied behind his back and Daniel Bryan blindfolded. It's not really creative whatsoever. So, not a big fan of what I'm seeing with Kane and Daniel Bryan. Hopefully, based on their tag team match, there is going to be enough stability to lead them into a match at WrestleMania as far as a tag team, maybe a tag team gauntlet, like I mentioned before, would be the best option. Because I just don't want to see Kane and Daniel Bryan, for one. And for two, I think they would fit better as a team at WrestleMania than having a match separately, because I think it would be overshadowed by everything else. All right, we have our team Raw correspondent, Eric, on the line. Let us know what you have today, sir.
Pancakes and Power Slams, best night of the week. And it is WrestleMania time. That's an exciting time for any wrestling fan. Glad you brought that up. It's WrestleMania season. And the best match they have so far, or at least lead up, kind of looks like Triple H and Lesnar. I know that you have a little bit of disgust with that. But honestly, as far as that's the only match that I see so far, it's got that classic WrestleMania feel. It's like, hey, all right, Triple H came out last night. Against the big bad Brock Lesnar is going to be a huge schmoz built out of it. But again, right now, that's the only thing that has that type of hype. We have yet to see The Undertaker. You know, it's now or never. Are they going to bring him on or not? Which, you know, that's up to the WWE. And but to go back to Monday Night Raw, Heyman versus McMahon, that would be interesting to see. Obviously, Paul Heyman is the little redheaded stepchild of Vince McMahon. Nothing against redheaded stepchild, but he is. I still wish he would shave his little ponytail. But that could end up being something. What could it be? Who knows? It's kind of, we've seen it before. You got the WWE old school next week. See how that goes. That always throws a little twist into it. Kind of reminds me of when I was a child. But can they do it? Can they not? We'll see how that goes. Donald Trump into the Hall of Fame celebrity wing. The celebrity wing never gave me a whole lot of, other than obviously seeing Pete Rose go in there. He deserves to be in some Hall of Fame of some sort. But with Mike Tyson, I understand that. And I understand the celebrity wing's just kind of going back to somewhat of the glory days of the celebrity, which that used to be the biggest thing about WrestleMania, is what celebrity is going to be there. And they've had great ones. Not so much in the recent past, but they've had them. Go back to the 80s, they had a ton of them. Punk versus Cena. Cena wins. CM Punk's kind of going down that Ryback road almost, where he's built up to be the biggest thing in the world and just kind of falters. And I guess when the WWE decides that he needs to. I'm not a big Cena fan either, but, you know, Cena versus The Rock at WrestleMania. This time last year, it was once in a lifetime. Cena and The Rock, one night only. You know, what do you want to do? It is the WWE. They like to redo their stuff, so kind of steals credibility from that. However, that wasn't the highlight of last year's WrestleMania. It was obviously Taker and Triple H, in my opinion. Hell in a Cell. But, again, going back to the Mania, Triple H and Lesnar, again, it's got the big build-up, or at least it has the potential to be a true WrestleMania match. I'm not really that interested in it. Of course, I'll probably watch it, but, again, I don't have that, you know, Christmas morning feeling like when Triple H and Undertaker were going to fight in Hell in a Cell last year and everything. So, but Monday Night Raw, decent Raw. We'll see what happens next week. That were the highlights as I saw it, the Raw correspondent. So back to you, Chris.
Thanks so much, Derek. Great job as always. I do agree with the Triple H and Undertaker match was definitely the match of the year, in my opinion, and also the WWE's, as it won a Slammy Award for it. So we'll see where Lesnar and Triple H goes. Like I said, I'm not sold. I'm not buying it, but you know that could change. It's going to have to take a lot for that to change. I wasn't necessarily buying Triple H and The Undertaker. The Undertaker's third WrestleMania match. But at the same time, interestingly enough, their third match on WrestleMania against each other was, in my opinion, the best one. So even with the almost Uncle Fester Undertaker that is totally Uncle Fester now, as many know, but if, just in case you don't know, he returned this weekend at a house show teaming with Sheamus at Waco, Texas, and they touted about that on WWE, which I don't understand why the long-awaited, totally hyper-hyped return of The Undertaker basically gets relegated to a tout. So, I mean, I can understand that they try to return Taker, you know, just to get some of the ring rust off because it's been a year since he's wrestled and it's been, 7 months since we've seen him. He came back on the Raw 1000 episode. So, however, I think what the WWE was trying to do with that was they were trying to kind of beat the internet, trying to go ahead of all of the dirt sheets, so to speak, and give that tout, just in case. So I can understand the reason why they did it. However, I'm not a proponent of relegating the hype of The Undertaker's return to a tout. So. All right, once again, thank you, Derek, for the Raw correspondence of this week. Let's go on to Sheamus Oscar snubs. He mocks Wade Barrett. That was actually pretty funny. It didn't seem like it went over that well in the crowd, but I thought it was good. I enjoyed that segment. And I also was hoping to see a Sheamus and Wade Barrett build because I like that feud. They kind of teased it when they both were heels back on SmackDown a few years ago. However, like I'm a fan. I am a proponent of that feud. I think it would be very hard hitting. They had a couple of matches when Barrett came back from his injury last year, and it was very hard hitting. I liked it, and I think that it could work. Even if that was for the World Heavyweight Championship, I'd be okay with it. So I do think it's important to, man, I do think it's important to really look at your options as far as, you know, the WWE is concerned. Look at your options and look at which feuds would work and wouldn't work. And I personally, I would be okay with the Sheamus and Wade Barrett feud for the Intercontinental title, actually. It's not necessarily a step down for Sheamus. He's been world champ, you know, a few times, but at the same time, you know, it's okay. It's okay for a main eventer to have the Intercontinental title. I'm a strong proponent of that. Unless you're Ric Flair, after 16 world title reigns, you get a Intercontinental title in your 50s. But, I mean, that's another story. Other than that, you know, if you're an established main eventer that's currently wrestling for the product, I'm okay with you getting a mid-card title. Just like when the two-man power trip was around, when Austin and Triple H teamed, Triple H was Intercontinental Champion at the time. So, and I was totally okay with that. I think it was a very good angle. And it kind of monopolized the title picture because Austin was world champ, Triple H was Intercontinental champ, and they were tag team champs. It's actually one of the best short-term tag teams of all time, two-man power trip. It looks like that may be an upcoming flavor of the week or article written on Bleacher Report. Greatest short-term tag teams. Two-man power trip definitely goes in that list. Ricky Steamboat is the correct answer for Jake Roberts' DDT on the concrete floor. Next question is, what was the main event of the first Starrcade? What was the main event of the first Starrcade? And if you want to one-up, name the year. And if you really want to show your wrestling scholar prowess, let me know where it was held, or what city and state it was held. All right, next we have R-Truth defeated Cody Rhodes. Quickly, right before that, Bear comes out and interrupts Sheamus and attempts to cut a promo, antagonizing Sheamus's mockery of his, his movie role. I think that's good enough to go to Mania, honestly. But we saw later in the evening that that might not go that way. So I was okay until I saw the swerve. R-Truth defeats Cody Rhodes. I'm okay. I mean, I like R-Truth. I'm okay with R-Truth getting a little bit of a push. I think that if they threw him back in the mid-card title picture, I'd be okay with that, too. He'd be a suitable opponent for Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental title. Kofi Kingston, on the other hand, is just going nowhere fast, and hopefully his affiliation with R-Truth could either revive his character, so to speak. But the thing is, the interaction with Truth and Sandow, I don't quite understand. Is it leading to a R-Truth and Damian Sandow match at Mania? Which I guess would be okay. But on the other hand, is it leading to a Team World Scholars and Truth and Kingston match at WrestleMania, and all four of them, you know, both teams amicably, went their separate ways. So that would be odd. Or could it lead to a potential gauntlet match, which I've been trying to, get some type of popularity to, or trying to promote for a while, the gauntlet match. So we'll see where it leads. And to be honest with you, I'm okay with the R-Truth little mini push that he's getting. No complaints here about that. Damian Sandow unsuccessful in tries to attack R-Truth post-match, which is also good for R-Truth as far as not just being a sacrificial lamb to Damian Sandow. Next, we get a We the People video. Once again, another one of these We the People videos. Last week it was horrible. This week it was just as horrible. Just doesn't go over with me. The people I've talked to, that didn't go over with them either. And I really think that the WWE should really kind of pull the plug on it, honestly. Just kind of count their losses and just admit that this angle is just not working. But it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So, unfortunately, we got to see more We the People videos. Team Hell No defeats Primetime Players. Surprising to me, because I would think that the one hand tied behind the back and the head over the bag over the head, I would think that that would lead into a Primetime Players win, just to give Primetime Players some kind of revival, so to speak. But even with one arm tied behind Kane's back and Daniel Bryan blindfolded, Primetime Players still lost. Now, that is embarrassing. To be honest with you, I would have chosen Primo and Epico, just because they've really been the tag team jobbers. But the Primetime Players, I don't think that was a good idea at all. I think that they should be kind of first bid, you know, on the top of the list to be the next tag team champions. Not necessarily now, but they have the potential to kind of regain the popularity. They're a good tag team. I like the Primetime Players. I don't like their new music. I think they should switch back to their own old music because it was more catchy and they can do the Millions of Dollars dance better. So, but, you know, unfortunately, the tag team the division is just a sinking ship. That's what it looks like. Again, not a proper build to WrestleMania whatsoever. The Shield promo, not good. Not good at all. They really kind of backfired with this attempt to put Shield on the mic. I think that's been a downfall for a couple of people. When Kane came back, it was a bad idea to put him on the mic as much as they did, especially with this feud with John Cena. That was just horrible. He came back with a mystique, came back with the mask, but he got on the mic, and that was just, I mean, it was just curtains then. And then Big E Langston was another one. I mean, he came, it was impressive. I liked it. I liked his, I like what they did with him and Cena. But he gets on the mic, and, I mean, his voice does not match his build whatsoever. And, I mean, the intimidation basically, I mean, it went away for the most part. So that was bad. And I think this is another one. The Shield, I mean, they're a great trio. They're one of the best trios, I would say, that this generation has. There's not many options, but they're one of the best trios that this generation has seen. I like what they're doing with their wins. I like their build two matches. The constant attacks aren't good. I'm glad that that's kind of fading and kind of lessening. But the in-ring promo, just too much on the mic. Just not a good. I mean, Ambrose. I like Seth Rollins on the mic. He's decent. But I'm so used to him cutting babyface promos that, you know, it's kind of different as a heel. Ambrose is good on the mic, but I think he's just too indie-minded. I think he's so saturated in his character that it could hurt him. Honestly, I compare Dean Ambrose so much to Brian Pillman that he was just so saturated and engulfed in his character that he kind of diluted himself in a sense, meaning that he kind of was one dimensional in a way because he was so engulfed in his character that he didn't really reek main eventer. I mean, Ambrose kind of has the same look as Pillman in a way, you know, as far as his mannerisms and just different things. I just compare him so much to Brian Pillman. And I can kind of see Ambrose and the WWE having a similar path as Pillman as far as his WWE career is concerned. A notable name, but not pushed heavily. And I think that he kind of needs to step out of being so engulfed in his character for him to work as on the mic in the WWE style, you know, as far as the indies. He's the poster boy, you know, he's one of the poster boys of the indies. So, and his character works well. One thing that Derek does not, he's very humble, and one thing that he, that you may not know about him is he's wrestled Dean Ambrose before in the indies. So kudos to the Royal Correspondent Derek. So Ambrose was, the man of the indies, but as far as just kind of aligning himself with the WWE style, I don't think it would go over well as a singles wrestler and on the mic so much. As far as Roman Reigns is concerned, great build. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, if I had to pick one of those three to have a singles push, it would definitely be Roman Reigns because I like his spear. I like his in-ring style. His promos are not good, though. So he would need a manager to be a talker for him. To be honest with you, I'd be okay with if Heyman was his manager or someone to that nature. But I'm high on Roman Reigns. I think that he would do well if he had a manager. But them on the mic was just it was excessive. It just went too long, and it just kind of diluted their whole, it just took away from the spontaneity. It just took away from the fact that they come from the crowd and attack people, or at least intimidate people. Now it kind of backfired on them, as we saw, because Sheamus kind of lured Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns into paying attention to him, and then that led to Randy Orton RKOing Seth Rollins. So, at the end of the, and again, where does this go? You know, it seemed like the mid card feuds were kind of formulating, which I was okay with both mid card feuds, but then Randy Orton and Sheamus plays double duty, and attacks the Shield. So, you know, is it two against three? That would be dumb because, you know, three against three, I mean, the Shield still won. So two against three at WrestleMania would not be a good idea. Do you throw in a legend or something like that to give a legend some type of, I mean, do you throw in someone like Slaughter or Snuka or somebody like that? I wouldn't put it past the WWE if that happened. Of course, that brings some nostalgia back, and it would be a good marketing tool for Mania. But, you know, do we really want to see that? So, again, I don't know exactly if the WWE knows where they want to take the Shield leading to Mania, and that alone is a problem. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes leading to WrestleMania. And then the Jack Swagger defeats The Miz. I mean, decent match, but I mean I knew that The Miz was going to lose. Again, Jack Swagger still. Yeah, I don't understand why they're giving him a shot. Harley Race and Ric Flair for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Great job. 83 was the first one, and it was not Charlotte, North Carolina. It was Greensboro, North Carolina, and we had an answer of Charlotte, North Carolina, but it was not Charlotte. It was Greensboro. So, but you know, great job, chat room, and tweets. Almost there, but not quite. All right, next we have the John Cena backstage promo leading to his match with CM Punk. This I will say, I was happy with the Cena and Punk match. That was a good match, especially the. I'm a big fan of kicking out of finishers. I like it. I like when there's close calls, when there's long two counts. I just like, you know, I have such a wrestling writer booker mindset that, you know, I'm looking at the art. I'm looking at the story that's being built within the match. And I will say, admittedly, John Cena and CM Punk, they've had some good matches in the past. But I will say that this match was good. I'll definitely give it to them for that. The close calls, the finishers in between was really good. So kudos to the WWE and kudos to, of course, John Cena and CM Punk for that. John Cena wins. I tell you what, though, what was interesting about this was that it seemed like the WWE is still trying to justify Rock Cena 2. Because first you get a John Cena Royal Rumble win. So because Rock Cena 2 hasn't, you know, it was supposed to be once in a lifetime. So it wasn't necessarily publicized as, you know, as a match. And then Cena wins, and so that, you know, draws the suspense of can we see a triple threat match. And so now John Cena beats CM Punk clean, and now they're saying, okay, it's official, Rock tweets, blah, blah, blah. And now it's to the point of saying, okay, we're legitimately going to get Rock Cena 2. That just kills the once-in-a-lifetime moniker, that just destroys any type of, you know, DVD, you know. So I don't think that, I don't think that that was a good idea. But I do understand that Vince wants to do it because it drew money. So, personally, I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not really looking forward to any of the main events, to be honest with you, because we've seen it already. So, unfortunate, but true. I think it's even going to be more predictable because Rock beat Cena last year. Rock is going to lose. So I think that's pretty self-explanatory about who's going to win or lose that match. Who was Randy Orton's first televised opponent? If you want to one-up me, what year did he appear on WWE TV? So, you know, good match, but at the end of the day, we know that John Cena and The Rock was slated for WrestleMania. And just like Once in a Lifetime, the match was decent. It didn't really impress me all like that, but I will say for The Rock not wrestling as long as he did, it wasn't too bad. And so we may get a better match this year. Hopefully we do. It'll draw money, so I'll be rational and admit, you know, and call a spade, so to speak. It will draw money, but at the same time, once in a lifetime means once in a lifetime, so I will say that. All right, so we are going to go to the flavor of the week. And the flavor of the week is the pro wrestling's most soulful wrestlers. I'm just going to name some names and just do a brief little synopsis about them. We'll start off with Brodus Clay, soulful wrestlers. He had the Cameron and Naomi, and not too much of a dancer, but at the same time, he is supposed to portray that he does have some soul with his character. Dusty Rhodes, son of a plumber. He was actually a blue-eyed soul, what he was named back in the Mid-South, and very popular as soulful, and just it's so funny that his gimmick, I mean, his promos were just totally just very soulful, very preachy at times too. One of the best talkers ever. So before I go on, we got a caller. Let us know your name. I'm going to take one call now, maybe another one later. Thanks for holding. Let us know your name, where you're from, and what you got for us.
Hi, my name is Josh from Boston. And flavor of the week, yeah, you're talking about the most soulful wrestler, so obviously I was thinking about the black wrestlers, of course, in the past. And you mentioned Dusty Rhodes. That's funny. Yeah, I can see that. So, you know, he had absolutely been most soul. I know what you're talking about now. Another one I want to think about is the JYD, Junkyard Dog, man. That guy, he came out, he would get down. He had thump on his tights. I mean, as far as soul goes, and he even had a song. Can you name that song? That's a good question for you, sir. But going back in the day, you want to see Bobo Brazil. You know, you've got Ron Simmons, the first NWA heavyweight champion that was African-American. And you got Mark Henry, who's the world's strongest man. And it's, you know, there's a lot of pride there along with that. Abdul the Butcher, he was probably the bloodiest man in wrestling history. But for Black History Month, the month of February, we need to remember these guys. And they, you know, there's many of them. If you want to bring in maybe Flash Funk, Coco Beware for sure. He was definitely soulful. And getting off flavor of the week, I just want to touch on the new WrestleMania for this year. The title should be Twice in a Lifetime. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. Good comments there. I think that I definitely appreciate the caller commemorating Black History Month. We definitely have to honor the black wrestlers because, interesting little fact, to this day, there's never been an African-American WWE champion. Never, ever, ever. So, of course, you can say people who were, you know, who had African-American in them, such as The Rock. However, there's not been an African-American champion in the WWE. So, nice little interesting tidbit there. Who will break that mold, if ever, you know, if ever in our generation? Hopefully someone does. I definitely think someone should. The closest to me was probably Booker T. Booker T did win the World Heavyweight title in the WWE. So kudos to Booker T for that. But we'll go into more wrestlers who portrayed, you know, a soulful, you know, character. So some of these wrestlers will also be white in color or Caucasian. So we will also throw in Boogie Woogie Jimmy Valiant as well. One of the most soulful wrestlers in the early 80s NWA. The Boogie Woogie Man was definitely a memorable gimmick. So we got a comment that the Godfather, very good comment as well. I actually didn't have him on my list, so thank you for throwing that name out. We also got Hardcore Holly as Randy Orton's first televised opponent. Great job. 2002 was his first year in the WWE. Next question is, who was the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion? Longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. Next, we got Dude Love. The soulful wing of Mick Foley. I remember that Royal Rumble. I remember that Royal Rumble that was the Three Faces of Foley was a part of the Royal Rumble. We got a D'Lo Brown comment here. But you know, thanks for your comments. But the Three Faces of Foley in the Royal Rumble, and then Cactus Jack, Mankind, and Dude Love were all in the Royal Rumble at different times. That was pretty funny. For those who remember, you know, Dude Love, you know, he was, if I'm not mistaken, he was feuding against Triple H, and he retired Cactus Jack. And basically, he resurrected Dude Love in honor of Jimmy Superfly Snuka doing the Superfly Splash to Don Rocco, if I'm not mistaken, in Madison Square Garden. Speaking of that, the caller asked what was the theme song of JYD, and my answer would be Another One Bites the Dust. So I thought it was Another One Bites the Dust. And then Grab Them Cakes as well. Either one. Grab Them Cakes was the more soulful one, but Another Bites the Dust wasn't anything soulful about that, but that was his theme song. All right, let's go to Rocky Johnson. His father of The Rock. His nickname was actually Soul Man Rocky Johnson. So he's got to be thrown in there. Coco Beware, I think the caller mentioned that. Definitely with his mascot Frankie. We had a Mark Henry sexual chocolate, and I'll give him that. He had the Barry White style Barry White style theme song. Iceman King Parsons, I will throw him in there. Very popular in the World Class Championship Wrestling days. Had a couple stints elsewhere. Had a stint in WCW as well. Paz Watley didn't really go far, but he had some type of doo-wop, boogie-woogie type of style to him that was pretty soulful. It's one of the most popular jobbers that that I know. I believe the caller also said Flash Funk, so I put him on my list as well. Strictly because of the gimmick, not so much. I mean, Too Cold Scorpio a little bit in the WCW days, not ECW whatsoever, but the WCW days a bit, you know, the whole everybody here comes Too Cold Scorpio, and he would kind of dance. He had a little, you know, funky beat, you know, song and everything, and he would teach Marcus Alexander Bagwell to dance, and that was pretty funny. Because he would fail every time as far as his teaching is concerned. Bagwell couldn't hold a beat if his life depended on it. JYD, Junkyard Dog, I also have him on my list. We've talked a lot about Junkyard Dog. He's one of the best African-American wrestlers of all time. I definitely believe that he should have had a world title. There was a point in the early 90s when he was feuding with Ric Flair, I think would have been a good time for him to win the title. He actually defeated Ric Flair on the Class of Champions episode, I believe the Class of Champions, beat him by disqualification. And then the last person on my list is the African Dream, Akeem, when he was the one-man gang, and then there was a common slick. And I think that Akeem definitely deserves to be on here. Honky Tonk Man is the longest running Intercontinental champ. Great job. But, yeah, Akeem was just hilarious to me. I think that gimmick just totally was a total overhaul of the one-man gang who had, like, a mohawk and, you know, just really no-nonsense type of bully. And then he goes into this arm-swinging, just kind of, you know, side-to-side type of, you know, gimmick, which is really, really funny. And the Jive So Bro coming out with Slick and just really funny. If you're not too familiar with Akeem, please YouTube him and check out his dancing. I think that he'd beat Brodus Clay in a dance-off any day. So that was fun. I had a great time with that. Next week's Fight of the Week, a nice little topic we have came up with. Matches that pro wrestling matches that we've never seen that would have worked very well. So kind of like a dream match, but more of a But more matches that we've never seen that would have really worked. Like, for instance, I'll just throw one out there just to give you an idea of what we're saying. For instance, Ricky Steamboat and Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, would have been a very good angle. So, pro wrestling feuds that never happen. Is the topic for pro wrestling feuds that never happened. So, yeah, I mean, I really think that we'll go more into it next week, but the times that Steamboat was there, I mean, of course, you know, his match with Randy Savage at WrestleMania 3 was still probably one of the best ever, but I really think that Steamboat could have had a really good feud with Kurt Hennig as well. So, we'll delve more into that next week. Thank you so much. I had a great time. And thank you all for your callers. Thank you for those who did not get to go on the line but still was supporting and listening. Like I said, call in. You know, hopefully you'll get chosen to be called, but do not let that stop you from calling in. We will pick up more calls as the transition comes back into the old school. I used to pick up more callers, but I just had so much to cover that I would just get a few calls. But want this to be an interactive show, so call in. If you're listening to this, all the numbers that I see that listen to this show is humbling, and I thank you so much for that. As a matter of fact, the Onyx episode broke the record of listeners, so thank you so much. And the week out, last week's show was very close by, so thank you very much for that. But when you're listening to the show, be sure to call in 347-884-8452. I mean, there are some weeks that I'll definitely be willing to, veer away from the plan of the show, from the outline of the show, to really, focus on listeners and their questions and inquiries and comments. So, yeah, I mean, feel free to call in. Do not hesitate to call in. Again, next week, to put in your back pocket, the number is 347-884-8452. This is Pancakes and Power Slams. I'm signing off on behalf of the Raw correspondent, Derek. I am Chris Featherstone. Until next week, have a great week. Enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.